Hey guys, I'm Scott Hunter, and I've got Pranav Rastogi with me from the ASP.NET team.
Hey guys.
And we're here today to talk about what's new in web forms. We just had a session a second ago where we talked about ASP.NET vNext, and now we want to come in and talk about web forms. So I thought we'd start, what have we done in web forms in the last, year and a half? And when I was putting this together, I realized, man, we've done a lot of work, and this year, we've done a lot of work, actually.
Exactly.
So to kind of recap, if you're a web form developer, when we shipped .NET 4.5 with Visual Studio 2012, we added support for async to web forms. So you can use all the await keyword with web forms. We added support for what we call strongly typed data binding. Before, when you were using data binding in web forms, you got no IntelliSense. It was basically just a text string.
And you change your model, you don't get any static compilation, nothing.
You wouldn't know that something was broke not until you run your application. So we brought strongly typed data binding into web forms. We brought a feature from MVC called model binding in. And historically, web forms had this model where you had a data source control and a data control, and they talked to each other. The negative there was it was kind of a black box. You didn't really know what query was being made to your database and stuff like that. And from the MVC world, we'd heard from customers, they actually like writing that code.
And then you can have your models, you can use EF code first, and you can put your data annotation saying, certain properties are required, which kind of gives you a good, rich application where you can build UI and you can model your UI separately, and your database sort of stays separate in terms of what your UI should look like and what your database should look like. So I think that was a good addition to web forms, the model binding support.
We added support for something called unobtrusive JavaScript. This is the JavaScript that we inject in your page when you're doing things like validation. Before, it was really heavy. Now what it actually does is there's attributes on your HTML, and the JavaScript reads those attributes and behaves accordingly. So it ends up being much prettier JavaScript. Once again, this was an MVC feature that we moved forward. And then we had this support for something called granular request validation. But to recap, really what I like to think of is strong type data binding, model binding, and unobtrusive JavaScript. Sure. We basically took a bunch of MVC features and moved them into web forms.
Yeah. So as a developer, you just have the same feature set comparison in all the frameworks that we have. So it's up to you. If you are good in web forms development, you still have these modern paradigms of model binding and strongly typed helpers, and just so you can start building your applications on top of it.
Then we shipped Visual Studio 2013, and when we did that, we added support for something called OneASP.NET. And the goal behind OneASP.NET was we've got a bunch of great frameworks in ASP.NET. We've got SignalR for real-time, we've got WebAPI for doing APIs, we've got WebForms for doing control-based development, we've got MVC for doing Model View Controller. And historically, people thought you had to use one of these and you couldn't use the rest of them. And so the idea behind OneASP.NET was you can use all these frameworks together. And so the idea is you can build a web form app that's using WebAPI, some SignalR, it might be using MVC for part of its front end. And so that was something. We brought Identity, which is something that we introduced in the 2013 timeframe with Identity 1. With Update 2 that just came out for VS 2013, we brought Identity 2 out, which adds support for things like
two-factor
auth. It can send a text to my phone asking if I, with a code to put in to log in. It's got all the support for social login.
And this kind of followed the whole one ASP.NET approach as well. We had one membership system. You can use it in web forms, web API, MVC, any kind of application that you're building. So it follows that one theme. And also as part of the one ASP.NET work that we did, you could also create applications that could talk to Azure Active Directory if you wanted to create single sign-on apps, where you want users from your Active Directory to log in, or you want to build SaaS applications where you want to build software and then sell it to different companies or to different organizations. So you have all the same experience of one ASP.NET, no matter what you choose. You have web forms, MVC, or web API. You get all of the tooling benefits as well as part of the whole one ASP.NET effort in VS 2013. We also added Bootstrap for web forms.
Well, pretty much everything we added for any framework, we added to all frameworks.
Yeah.
So, and then the final thing here is we added something called friendly URLs, and this is kind of the final missing piece to bringing all the MVC capabilities to web forms, and that was friendly URLs basically gives you the ability to drop the .aspx extension, and it gives you the ability to create URLs that instead of containing question mark, value equals, or name equals value, you basically pass parameters using slashes. So I could say product
slash
product
slash one. Yep. So they're more SEO friendly. You can also switch between like desktop and mobile views in friendly URLs.
Yeah.
So
I was gonna say, we added mobile support. That was an MVC feature as well. Right. Where you could actually have both a regular version of a view, and you could do a dot mobile version, and so that's fully built in. Now to move forward a little bit beyond 2013, what's kind of going on? We just released, I think in the build timeframe, what we call Roslyn code DOM providers. And this is something that in the next version of Visual Studio will be baked in by default. This lets you, as a web form developer, use all the latest C# and Visual Basic language features that are coming in the Roslyn compilers today and in the future. So we're basically enabling that. We have dynamic data, which is a feature we shipped many years ago. We now added support for NED Framework 6 to it. So it now fully supports NED Framework 6. And we had, before the new identity system came out, we had an old membership system, and we now have drivers for that old membership system that work with NED Framework 6 as well. And then with an update to .NET 4.5.2 that just came out, I think about a month ago.
Probably a month ago.
we added a cool function where you can queue what we call a background task. This has been a long ask for ASP.NET is how do I run background tasks? And the cool thing about the queue background worker item feature that we added is it's aware of the shutdown request coming to ASP.NET. And so it basically is you can run something in this as long as you run it in a reasonable amount of time. And it will try to complete before it actually lets ASP.NET shut down. I've got a bunch of links to things here. Pranav and I will, in the Jabber forum, give a small link that points to all of these things. And we'll try to do a couple demos of some of this stuff real quick. So I'm going to build an ASP.NET web form app here. And once again, this is that one ASP.NET. Notice I can check MVC, Web API. I can add these frameworks now. I can also add them after the fact. I can right-click on my application and add a framework if I want. Let's create a web form app here. And as Pranav was saying before, this web form application, because I'm using update 2, is going to have all the Identity 2 stuff. It's going to have Bootstrap. All the modern stuff is there for you as a web form developer.
It's going to have EF6 as well.
One of the other cool things that we added is for web form developers is, let me add a class here. And I'm going to create the class called Person here. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go and create something that has a person ID.
So Scott is creating an app, and this is how the model is going to look like for his application.
Very simple here. So I've got a couple properties here, and if you're a web form developer, you've not had access to the scaffolding feature that we've had in MVC and Web API for a while. And so one of the things that we have is we have this scaffolding package on GitHub called Web Form Scaffolding. I've got it installed on my machine, and so I can now right-click on my application, and I will say I want to add, and I'll add a new scaffolded item. And notice that in my web form application, I can click these MVC to add MVC scaffolds. I can add Web API scaffold, but now I've got this new web form scaffold. And I'll click add. And it's going to go find my classes. It's going to find that person's going to be here. I'm going to select I want to scaffold that person class. I'm going to say use my existing context, and I'll say go. And so this is going to give you that same functionality that these MVC and Web API developers have had. We're going to go build you a sample app that uses any framework to do all the database actions. And we're going to give you the views for being able to list, edit, delete items in the application. What's cool is this feature not only is a web form feature, but we actually made it a full feature. So you as a developer, if you want to write your own scaffolder, you can now add it to Visual Studio. So let me run this real quick.
Yeah, so you can write scaffolders, do anything that you want, and you can customize the behaviors of the scaffolders as well. Like, you can change markup or how they should look like.
So I'm going to go to person. And notice now I've got these pages, and I can go and create myself. And I will create Pranav.
And so all these pages like are styled with the Bootstrap.
So these all look good, as you said. So the cool thing is this is a productivity gain for you. You can actually write these applications. We're going to write all this code for you and hopefully get you started faster. While I'm here, let me show you a couple features of this as well. So notice that when I created this application, I've got a site.master and a site.mobile.master. And this is that friendly feature that we have, friendly URLs feature that we have in WebForms now. And what it allows me to do is create mobile versions of things. And so I've got my site master, which is my page that controls my basic layout. And now I've got a mobile version of that as well. And what will happen is we can detect when your application runs if you're on mobile and give you a mobile experience. So let me just bring up an iPhone simulator here. And I'll relaunch the application.
And so you can download different sort of simulators for VS as well. You can download iPads, iPhones, and you can plug it into VS, which is what Scott just showed you, that extensibility point.
Now notice that I've now got a mobile version of my page here. And I've got this selector at the bottom here, which lets me go from the mobile to the desktop.
Right.
So I could say, great, you know, I'm using my phone, but I want to see what the full browser experience looks like.
Yep.
And I click the link down there. WebEssentials is in my way.
Try enter.
I don't know what my focus is.
Yeah.
I can't get to it, but if I click that, it'll actually show me the full desktop version of the page. And so the idea here is we built this ability for you to use responsive with Bootstrap to try to target both mobile and desktop, and we've given you the ability to use this to customize and if you want to have a mobile version of a page.
Yeah, because you can extend that and have like for iPads different views or for phones different views and stuff. So that's for the friendly URLs.
So I want to show one more feature over here. Let me go and drill into person. I'm going to drill into the default view here. There's another project that we have out here that Damian Edwards on the team built, and it's called WebForms Model Binding Extensions. And when we built the model binding feature into WebForms, we didn't have the ability or the time at the we didn't have cycles to get it into the framework fast enough to add support for async for model binding. And so Damian's got this great package. Our great sample up here, which enables some extensions to WebForms model binding, including async support. And so what I'm going to do here is I'll go over here. I already built that.
You need to stop debugging.
Stop my debugging here. switch back. I already built that library. Tell it I want to use that. It's going to add a reference to his library to my application. And I've got a couple snippets of code here I'm going to stick in here. So the scaffolding that we have right now doesn't enable paging by default. I'm going to turn paging on here. So I'm going to just go to my list here. And after my body, I'm going to add a footer. And in my footer, I've got a data pager. So now I've got the ability to page data. And what I'll do is I will go to the code behind here. And once again, we don't have a lot of time, so let's just grab a couple of these. These are just the using statements to use the right libraries here. So we want threading. I need tasks because I'm going to return a task. And I need his extensions. So I'm going to use his extensions. I was planning to write this new get method, but I don't have time to do that, so I'm just going to go and copy some code in here. So first off, to enable his extensions, I've got to do a couple of things. I need to enable those when the page starts running. So notice here I've got enable model binding extensions. So I'll go back here and I will take my page here and I will assign an ID to the control. That gives me so I can access it in my code behind. And then let me go grab the async version of this and I'll explain how the async version of this works. I'm a big hardcore believer that if you're building ASP.NET apps today, all of your data access should be done asynchronously. So
the gets.
Yeah. Light bulb, go away. Tasks. Okay.
Yep.
Good. Okay, so the big thing here going on here is when you do model binding, you have, by default, you'll see my current method returns an iQueryable. That means my data binding is deferred.
Right.
In the async world, I don't want that to be deferred. I need to run that on a different thread, and so yep. I need it to happen in one place here. And so if I don't want that to be deferred, I have to take a couple of different parameters, like how many rows to return, what the starting index is, and maybe what the sort by is. And so then another thing I need to return is the total number of results, so the pager can actually work. And so what I've got here is I go grab my people, which is my Entity Framework database, and then I create what's called a select result. A select result contains two parameters. It contains the total row count, and you'll see that I'm calling a wait on my database and saying, give me that total number of rows asynchronously, and then it returns a IEnumerable of your data. And so in this case, I've got results, and I'm saying I want to await again, doing the multi-threading. People, I want to sort by, potentially a sort expression if you click a column, right. Or I'm going to default to last name. If you don't have a sort expression, I want to sort by your last name. I'm going to skip the start row, so I jump to the right page. I call .take to take the number of rows, and then I call toList async. And then all I've got to do is change my model binding select method from what it is today. It's right here. If I build and I run, now this is going to run asynchronously. And the benefit here is it means we're not taking a thread off the thread pool as we make the database call. Oh, and it's giving me the
helpful error message as well.
Basically, because I'm running async, I need to tell ASP.NET that I want this page to run the async pipeline. So I'll mark the page as async equal true, and it should work fine.
It's good to have helpful error messages, yeah.
Yes. So that's async and showing that we can do async. I've got one more thing I want to show real quick. There's this preview that we shipped at the build time frame for the new compiler called Roslyn. And Roslyn is the latest C# and VB compiler. And it's pretty cool. I've got it installed. I recommend you install it. It seems to be pretty safe to install. If I go to my tools and extensions, you will see over here that I've got this Roslyn preview. What I found is when I install this extension, it replaces my compilers with the Roslyn version of the compilers. The cool thing is if I click the disable button, it'll switch my system back to the old compilers.
Nice.
And so it's easy to try this and not break things. So I've got the Roslyn stuff enabled. When you download Roslyn, this document's associated with it as well. And this contains new features in C#. And there's a list of these things. And what I want to show you is I can take this feature here. So let's just grab this. Just grab the code right here. And I'm going to create an app code folder. That's the way you do things in web forms here. So let's go add ASP.NET folder, app code. Got it there. And I'll come over here and I will add a new class. And sure, class one is fine. And let me, inside of here, let's paste that code I just copied. So this looks great. This is using a new feature where, actually that's the old style. Let me grab the new style here.
The before and after.
That's before and after. So I've got this code here. Notice that I've got just a getter, right. But I can now set a default value.
Yeah, nice.
So this looks great. We'll compile it. It will appear to work fine. And I will run it. And it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because inside of ASP.NET, what happens is when we start trying to compile your application, we use this method called codedom.
Codedom.
And that uses the old compilers, and so it doesn't use the new features. And so if I want to enable this, what I've got to do, I think I might have grabbed this, or no, I didn't. Here's the provider we enabled. I'll just grab this line of code right here. I'll go back to my Visual Studio, go to the Package Manager console. I'll paste that in. This installs a package into your web form application that has a replacement codedom provider. The replacement codedom provider uses the Roslyn compilers. So after I install this package, my application is now free to use all the latest C# features, which means that compilation error I saw before, I will not get now. My application will now run. Thinking about it, there you go. It nice. Runs. I'm using the latest C# features today. So wow. I highly recommend going out, grabbing the Roslyn preview, installing it, maybe grabbing our codedom provider,
right.
playing with some of the new C# or VB features and seeing if they work well for you. We got like 5 or 6 minutes left. I'm gonna let Pranav go through a couple of demos as well.
Perfect.
And even though we're doing ASP.NET vNext, as appropriate, we still will find, you know, like the stuff we're showing today, we still plan to add, you know, new functionality right. to web forms, you know, as it makes sense. So there's a couple things we can't talk about that are coming in vNext
right.
that we'll be adding to web forms as well.
Right. And the best part about it is, like, you see a lot of these features are also getting added out of band outside of the framework releases as NuGet packages and stuff. So stay tuned to the team blogs for more information around it. So I'm going to show you a feature which Scott talked about is a queue background work item. What this feature is used for if you want to sort of run lightweight background tasks, so let's say sending emails or so now we have a way of doing it. So you have to have 452 installed, which is a developer pack that you can install on your machine. In this example, what I'm doing basically is in my page, I just have a text box, and once I click the submit button, it's going to send me an email. So here's the application sort of getting loaded up. And in my application, I can go down and, you know, send email to this email address. And what's happening behind the scenes is when I click the submit button, I'm creating this new work item called send email. And send email basically takes up and sends the email, nothing interesting about it. But the key thing about this queue background work item is I can queue up different work items. So I can add this logging work item, which sort of takes in a cancellation token as well. So this is a case where my, you know, background task is running. Maybe the worker process goes down. It'll sort of gracefully end my task. So it'll give us around, I think, 90 seconds before it ends my work item. So I can take in this cancellation token and I can do some custom processing around it.
So basically the idea here is as long as your work item is less than 90 seconds
yeah.
you should use, this is a reasonable feature to use.
This is a reasonable
basically
feature. Right.
Your application will be notified, hey, you've got about 90 seconds to finish your task before you're forcefully shut down.
Exactly.
There was a question that I saw that was asked.
Exceptions.
Is there a plan to support VB, Roslyn, codedom provider? Yes. Yeah. We don't have it yet. The
right.
first preview that we put out only supports C#. We will definitely support both C# and VB. And a question also on the queue background task was exceptions. And the reality is in any of these background task things, you need to catch exceptions inside of your
application code.
Application
yes.
code. If you do not, it will tear the entire process down.
Right. So in my case, I've sort of handled the task exceptions and I'm doing something meaningful around it.
Also, there was a question coming in. I mentioned the gets being async. I think every database should be async.
As long the gets should always be async.
gets should be async.
And EF6 supports async as well, so you can sort of nicely layer that up. I'm going to show you dynamic data support for EF6. So dynamic data was a framework that we shipped in 3.5. It's built in 4.0.4.5. It lets you build applications where you know, do create, replace, and update operations on a database pretty easily. So what we have done is, as EF6 has been released, we have shipped an extension to Dynamic Data, which introduces a new provider which lets you use EF6. So you can have your model, which is EF6 code first based, and you can use Dynamic Data as well in your application. So in my application, I'm going to install this NuGet package. It's called Dynamic Data EF Provider. It'll bring in the provider. It'll bring in all the field templates which have been updated to work with EF6. So you have like many field templates. And then I'm going to my application. I'm going to uncomment this registration code. And so notice that this line is signifying that's using the new EF6 provider for Dynamic Data. And once I run my application, I get the whole functionality of the Dynamic Data framework as well. So I list all the tables. I can go to a particular table and sort of edit it. So this is a Northwind database, and it's showing you employee and territories. And this is a many-to-many relationship. Like an employee can belong to different territories, and many territories can be associated with a single employee as well. So you can edit this employee information and sort of do any sort of CRUD operations around it. So this is available on the NuGet gallery today. I would strongly recommend to check it out. We also have support for two-factor auth in the WebForms templates. I'm going to be covering it more in my identity talk at 2 o'clock, so do check it out.
I think the main point we want to show is you know, we've showed today a couple things. We've added scaffolding. Yeah. I showed some examples of being able to do model binding with async. We're going to see if we can get that async model binding into the next version of the framework, or we can ship it as an official out-of-band package. We showed the Roslyn support for C# and VB, letting you have the latest version of the compilers. We showed friendly URLs, being able to have device pages and non-device pages, being able to remove the ASPX extension.
Right.
Pranav just showed dynamic data support. Identity support. And so the point we want to tell you, if you're a WebForm developer, we've got lots of great stuff in the queue coming for you, and still a great way to develop and enjoy it.